RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
So, to Australia's new disinformation bill, the ban on social media for under-16s and denying Candace Owens entry. And back on the program with us is Dr. Reuben Kirkham, co-director of the Free Speech Union of Australia. He's been on our show before talking about his battle to depose the eSafety Commissioner and various free speech issues facing the poor old Australians. Reuben, welcome back.
Thank you for having me again. We've got quite a lot to talk about, haven't we?
Yeah, you're really piling it up over there. And some of us are worried you'll slip, well, not you personally, but the country is slipping below the waves right now when it comes to free speech and being a free society. Even I can't believe I'm saying that. Am I blowing that up too much, do you think?
Well, I mean, it's been bad to begin with in Australia. So, you know, you go to an Australian university, the censorship regimes have been overdrive for a decade or so. The mismanagement of them. So this is just a continuation of it. The misinformation bill and the age bill is about an arrogant attempt to censor and control the internet. It will fail. Yeah. The misinformation bill is unlikely to be passed. The crossbench on the Senate are against it, or enough of the people on the crossbench on the Senate are currently coming out against it, so it won't get the vote. Interestingly enough, the Green Party is considering opposing it because it doesn't censor enough. It doesn't censor, according to them, the Murdoch media. So that's going to be their way of saying, no, we didn't vote for this embarrassing bill. So the Greens didn't vote for it. It abstained in the House of Representatives. But in Australia, the real battle is at the Senate, because the Senate, the government doesn't have a majority. And that's to do with how our system is set. So we think it's unlikely that it will succeed at this point. But we'll be reminding all the senators when it gets close to the vote, when the report's been issued. And that brings me to another quite serious concern. And that is that they have not published most of the submissions. We know that at least 2,000 came direct from our system. Another 25,000 were generated using our tool. So just from the Free Speech Union of Australia, we're talking about 10,000 plus submissions we are aware of that have not been sent in, that have not been registered by the Parliament. And that is of great concern. It's a complete lack of transparency. That includes our full-length submission we sent in. They've not put that up on the...
Really? Even the official sort of headline submission from the Australian FSU, they haven't looked at or considered?
No, it's not on their website yet for some reason, along with thousands and thousands of them. And so the Inquiry's website, if you read it, it's misinformation in and of itself.
Yeah.
Misinformation inquiry into the misinformation bill has misinformation, considerable misinformation, that represents a democratic deficit. But what is interesting is finally people on the left have come round to the and being openly against the mis and disinformation bill. So you have, for example, even the Sydney Morning Herald having to say, you know, this is bad. The Age saying this is bad. These are left-wing newspapers. You have people like Anne Toomey, who's a constitutional expert, probably more associated with the left than the right, completely panning this misinformation bill when she was in Parliament 2 days ago talking about it. So everyone knows the emperor has no clothes. And maybe this was the idea, because Labour have got some other bills running at the minute that haven't attracted the same attention. They have this so-called privacy bill, which has a ban on doxing. Well, so I can't, for example, say that Roxanne Tickle was a man called Jason, right? I can't say where Dan Andrews plays golf. And if I do, the criminal law penalties are actually higher than, say, punching someone in the face, as long as you don't kill him or something, right? So we're talking 7-year imprisonment merely for saying a piece of personal information about someone.
They've gone mad, Reuben. They've gone mad. They've gone mad. It's insane.
I mean, it's mad. These bills haven't passed yet. I mean, in Australia, there's lots of absurd provisions scattered all over the statute book that are just wheeled out when they want to go after someone. So this isn't just going to add to it. They can do it anyway. So, for example, poor Richard Boyle, the ATO whistleblower, We have whistleblowing protections in Australia, apparently, but they've got so many loopholes, the federal whistleblowing protections have never been successfully relied upon. So he's now being prosecuted, essentially, for leaking that there was a scandal in the ATO. And it's like, oh, we found some technicality here. We're going to prosecute you. So that's how Australia's always works, right?
These are just remind us what the ATA is again, Ruben.
The ATO is the Australian Tax Office.
Oh, Australian Tax Office. I thought you said ATA. Yeah, okay. Gotcha.
So this is continuation of a norm in Australia. Then we have the hate speech bill. So they're adding symbols of all sorts of categories. So there's going to be an interesting question. If someone wears a T-shirt saying, woman equals adult human female, is that a hate symbol?
Probably.
How woke the people are, I guess, who are deciding on it. So it is not a clear test, but it is getting worse. But this is the dying days of a Labour government that seems to be going out the door.
And it's not a uniparty situation, though, Ruben, where the others come in and kind of just do the same thing, maybe with a little bit of finessing here and there.
That brings me to the age verification one, doesn't it? Which apparently both parties are supporting, which is really user verification. I mean, the age part is a misnomer. It doesn't matter whether you're 16 or 60, you're going to have to ID yourself if this is enforced. Then they'll probably have a provision in this bill which hasn't been, the draft hasn't been published yet. And if it's similar to the e-safety one, it will be you have to take all reasonable steps. Well, they could say, well, that reasonable step we've taken is said 18-year-olds, please don't go on my website. Unless you're over 18 or 16 or whatever. And I'll just say we can't do anything else. And that's where it's going to get interesting. There's going to be a lot of litigation about what a reasonable step is. So what will happen is there'll be litigation over this bill and it will end up being unenforceable. Because none of the parties seems to realise that you can't actually make a system of this nature that will work.
It means that everybody is actually forced to ID themselves somehow, and they're talking biometrics as one way of doing that. And I think the contracts or the tenders are out for that, and that all could be here within a year or so. So I would have to verify, would I, that I'm over the age, even though I'm well over the age of 16, because I could be anyone just saying that, couldn't I? So it forces a particular direction, doesn't it?
And that is the problem. That is the complete problem with it, which is what will happen is that it'd be the same thing as with the e-safety commissioner's Bishop stabbing video ban. A social media company will just say no and take it to court. And then the court will say, well, you can't enforce this. And it mean, are they going to enforce it worldwide? Well, if not, then how are you going to block it to Australian-only users? Well, you can't. So you'll have countries with laws saying, well, we can't be forced to do this, or it's not even lawful to force this to happen. You know, you've got the GDPR, for example, in Europe. I mean, how would this be compatible with the GDPR? All these Europeans being told, well, you know, you've got to give your age and prove your age to log into this website. Well, the answer is it won't be. And therefore, they're going to have to say, well, we're going to do this to Australian users. And if you're only going to do this to Australian users, well, how are you going to know if they're Australian? You can't. Yeah. So you're going to have the same fiasco with it because no one has thought through this legislation at all. The draft was written by Robert French, and it just doesn't grapple with any of the issues. And they're going to have exemptions, they're going to have rules, they're going to have codes. How are you going to prove your age? And that's going to be the interesting question. I mean, you could. My training is as a computer scientist. I could think of ways you could do this if you had something on device that showed, for example, that, you know, it just sent the age of the person or that the age is over X. And, you know, you had an AI program that showed someone's face. And, you know, you could put your camera on, you put your camera up to your face, and it will do that. And it just keeps it on device. But they haven't legislated for that. It could be theoretically built, but that's not in existing hardware, not in a way that it's separated out in such a way that it's only proving that this user is of a certain age and nothing else. So someone's going to have to build all this, and the responsibility targets are wrong. I mean, if you want to have an age verification system, let parents buy particular phones that are locked down. You know, that's what they want. Phones are expensive, right? You can stop kids accessing phones if that's what those parents want to do, right? And rather than it being a hard rule, I mean, helping parents stop their kids accessing the internet, thinking about ways that you can, you know, ensure that social media has less of an impact. So, you, for example, these phones could limit the number of notifications a day, or limit the amount of activity, or limit them to an hour a day on social media. You can have content filtering on a phone if you want it, right, on your phone. But this shouldn't be being imposed on everyone. So there's lots of ways to solve this particular issue of, yeah, not, it's not unreasonable for parents want to have some control over what their kids can access, right? You don't want, you know.
Yeah, but it's their responsibility, Ruben, fundamentally. Yeah. It's not the government's responsibility. And that's one of the, you know, the tasks of a parent is to manage, in this case, access to what could be dangerous as part of normal parenting. The other thing is it serves that bigger purpose, doesn't it? It channels people to the idea, the normalizing of a digital ID, which can then be expanded, here goes my little suspicious mind again, to people accessing everything. And then, you know, who knows where it ends? It's a great Trojan horse because you're being good to the kids. What sort of support, can you gauge it, does the Australian public give to this idea? Because pitched on safety and harm prevention and being kind and all of that, you know, people won't disagree with that. But do you think they see the bigger picture potentially?
Well, I think they'll see the bigger picture as soon as someone tries to implement it. I think that's where the Australian government probably are going to go, hang on, this is not what we thought this was. We thought it was protecting kids. And as soon as you actually implement something like this, when you find you're going on to X and saying, I've got to prove my ID, show your passport to log into X, people are going to go, what the? Yeah. And that's where it's going to become interesting. So people haven't actually gone against this wall yet. When people hit this wall, they're going to go, what the hell was that? Why on earth did you pass this? I'm not going to comply with it. And that's where it's going to get interesting. They're going to be selling a lot of VPNs, put it that way.
Yeah.
They're only going to be implemented for Australia, right? And they're going to drive away the local tech industry. And there was a privacy company, privacy messaging company, that recently just moved to Europe because Australia raided one of their founders. So what they're going to do is drive out the local tech industry, look like idiots again. So it's an appalling law in terms of what it says about what the government thinks they can do. But in practice, they're going to probably go too hard and look like complete idiots. And that's what I hope will happen. If we have enough free speech left to show that they are these idiots, of course. But that is what is so troubling about this, is that they feel they're able to even write something like this down. And the Victorian Bar, right? Victoria is a left-wing state in Australia. They were scathing about the misinformation bill. Yeah, it should never have been written. And that's exactly what we think. You know, this is, we're all pro free speech, but the government to sit down and write something like this. I mean,
and the other thing is that most people realize that the purveyors of mis and disinformation, verifiable, fact-checkable, are usually the government.
The government and the powerful and their friends. You know, so, which of course have an exemption. Surprise.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Yeah, surprise, surprise. All right, what's the timeline in the Senate?
So in the Senate, they have until the 25th of November to produce their report, and then there will be a vote at some point, and hopefully the vote will go the right way for the misinformation bill. Then there's these other bills. We reckon they'll be coming in around December into the Senate. There's a report due on the privacy one tomorrow. Then we'll be probably campaigning on that one to get some people to write to their senators. There's little point writing to MPs at that level. You're better off writing to your senator. You can phone them up. You can say, look, I'd like a meeting about this. There are ways to this. To be fair, a lot of senators on the crossbench are listening. And so we think the misinformation bill will go. We want to make sure we can deal with some of these other bills as well, because they're just adding to a catalogue of provisions across states and across the Commonwealth, where the police can selectively enforce them. And that is how it works in Australia. They operate based on selective enforcement.
Right. We'll get to Candace Owens in just a moment, but there's an election coming up, right? I think May next year, or in that ballpark next year. Albo is, from what I'm reading anyway, his popularity is waning. If they perceive, do you think, a big downside electorally in pursuing this, do you think they'll drop it? And are the opposition, Lib National, what, the Coalition, are they making hay while the sun shines here?
They must, I mean, they've gone against the misinformation bill, but they've gone for some of these other ones. So,
yeah.
I mean, yes, I'd expect the Liberal National Party to win the next election. I think there's going to be some interesting, I mean, one interesting possibility is Labour gets a minority, but still with the Greens. But after the result in Queensland, it looks like that the Greens are getting trashed. And that hopefully might be one good thing that comes out of this, given how the Green Party have become increasingly authoritarian. And what is quite interesting is there's no real left in Australia. You know, if you're a traditional left-winger, I mean, how would you vote for these things? And that is, I guess, the problem that Albanese will have when it comes to next year's election. It's what we saw in America, the election of Donald Trump. No one was surprised there because the left were too busy focusing on wokeism, which has got nothing to do with the interests of the working class. It's against those interests. I mean, the interests of the working class are not some well-off people ensuring that they're using the right pronouns. No, you're talking about, for example, people on disability benefits. How long does it take to get a disability benefit? Well, it's an atrocious crisis. That's what you'd expect a left-wing party to be sorting out. People's mortgages have gone up. I mean, everyone's paying $1,000 more at least on their mortgage, particularly my generation. I mean, our generation have smaller mortgages, but then, of course, they're having to look after, you know, if you're a parent, you've got the same problem. Your kids want to buy a place. So the fundamental issue of the economy, that's what they should be focusing on, right? If you are trying to engage people on the left, like the traditional working class voters, the actual left, not the pseudo left, people who are genuine, and of course the working class, they want to call it how it, you know, say it how it is, right? You know, that's what the classic working class person wants to do, right? So the left has abandoned the left, as it were.
Yeah, they walked
away.
That's
where it's become interesting.
Yeah, sure is. Couple of quick comments before we're done on, because we're up against time, Ruben. What's the latest on Candace Owens? I saw Monica Schmidt was putting together some sort of petition. I haven't caught up with where that's at. That was late last week, I guess. So anything to update?
She's filed a court claim, so which is going to be very interesting.
Okay, all right.
So she's got a legal case. I mean, I haven't seen it yet in the system. I'm not sure how, what basis she's filed it, whether it was a decision of the minister that has to go to court or whether it's a decision that has to go to the tribunal system. The dirty details are a bit murky, shall we say, but it will be an interesting case and we'll be following that with interest, to say the least, as to what happens in that legal claim. And hopefully the minister will stop abusing his power. I mean, we keep encountering it when we've tried to bring people into the country. We had massive problems with Graham Linehan. They seem to just be
maybe so.
Hopefully he'll come to see you guys in New Zealand as well. I mean, I know that's been delayed while this is sorted out, but...
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. But you can't have the poor Australians, you know, falling off their chairs and melting as snowflakes because Candace Owens says something you don't like. So they're looking after you, Ruben. They're protecting you. They're keeping you safe. Just don't forget
from the internet, from knowing anything, from, I mean, it's like 1984, isn't it? They've taken 1984. It's like, that looks blissful.
Yeah. Handbook. All right, thanks for updating us, Ruben. Always good to hear you here at RCR. Dr. Ruben Kirkham, co-director of Free Speech Union of Australia. We'll talk again sometime soon. Ruben, thank you.
Sure, you will. Thanks a lot.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.